2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Steve.
Okay. Well, you heard that scripture last week as well. There's two parallel statements that are made in the second part. All scripture is God-breathed, and we looked at that. We thought about that last week, and we'll kind of use that as a theme throughout next week included, the idea of God breathes life into his creation and into all things. But then there's a second part of that, which will be more of the focus today, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that we're thoroughly equipped for every good work. Just a reminder of just the whole idea of God breathed. This is the only time where that kind of combination word is used in Scripture, but the idea of God breathing out is found throughout Scripture. And so last week we looked at the idea that God is the source of all life, that he breathes life into all things, and that where God breathes, God calls people and creation into partnership with him. He calls us into relationship with him. He calls us into community together. So God breathes life, and in doing that, he calls us into partnership and relationship with him and with each other, with that breath that we're given. And so this morning, I'd like to focus more on the idea that when we interact with the scriptures, when we interact with God's word, that God's breathing life into that. Like there's something life-giving, there's something powerful, empowering at work in the midst of that interaction. I want to describe an image that was found in Megan Good's book. I was going to bring that to show you because I forgot the title last week, and now I don't know the title without the book this week. But she opens with this imagery of imagine a cabin. You're in a cabin, and it's like the things, it represents like the things of your life. You can see your car keys and wallet sitting over there, your laptops open, with emails that show just the stuff that's going on in your life. There's dishes on the table from what you ate. But then outside the cabin, there's just this beautiful scenery that just shows the expanse of creation all around you. And then there's a window through which you can see all of this. And what she describes is that window is the scriptures. It's through scriptures that we can see the wide expanse of God's kingdom. The way she describes it is that the outside environment, that scenery, is the infinite, eternal life of God, the possibilities and the potentials of life with God. That's out there. And we can see it, and not only see it, but actually are invited out to join that, out of our own life, what we know, what we see, what we understand, what we've experienced, what we've been raised in, to see a greater picture of God's eternal purposes and who God is and the desires of God and so forth. And so the Bible's this invitation to join God in this story that's been going on from the beginning, that we can walk with God, that we can partner with God in all of his creative purposes, but his redeeming purposes, to bring things back to his true intentions. And so it's not just to see it, that beautiful expanse, the imagination of all that God is and God desires, but actually to join in. And so that's where this idea of the scriptures are God-breathed. There's something powerful at work. There's something inviting and empowering as we read these words to help us to join God in this journey, to be active participants. And so when we think about this, this scripture, especially verse 16 and 17, think about this, the idea that scripture is God-breathed, God is breathing life, that God is at work calling us to him in partnership with him. So all scripture is, the NIV says useful, which is true. It's a translation of that word. It sounds kind of, for me, too basic or utilitarian, or another way to say it, it's profitable. There's a profit. There's something that comes out of it, or even it's empowering. Scripture is empowering for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the one who's devoted to God is thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice how Paul's trying to describe to us how all-encompassing Scripture is to be able to reveal God to us and lead us in the ways of God. There's been words that have been used throughout the years to try to get at that, the fullness of Scripture. In the last 100, 150 years, the word inerrancy has come up, and that especially arose with things like when the teaching of evolution came, and this way where some wanted to combat that by saying Scripture is inerrant in everything, including historical things, what would be the science things. So here Paul seems to be especially saying Scripture is powerful. Sometimes we use the word infallible. It can't fail us in leading us in the ways of faithfulness to God, to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It leads us in the ways of God. In our Mennonite Confession of Faith, it's described as the fully reliable and trustworthy standard for Christian faith. There's a fullness to it. And so we just want to grab on to that idea that scriptures are powerful to show us the ways of God, so that we're thoroughly equipped, or we could say thoroughly outfitted. Have you ever gone on a picnic or camping or backpacking or anywhere and you weren't fully outfitted? You get there and you realize, like, we've done a terrible job preparing for this, and now it's ruining our time. I tried when our boys were little. I thought I'm going to take them backpacking. So we went from, like, if you know Berks in Chester County, from St. Peter's Village into French Creek State Park. We hiked and so back in those days, I didn't do any backpacking, and I thought Sterno would heat things up. It would heat up our beef stew. I think Sterno is just to keep things warm. Wasn't a good choice for a heating element. I packed one flashlight, and when I put it in the backpack, it turned on. So it was dead by the time we got there. So, and I misjudged what my boys could walk in a couple hours. So we get there after dark. I don't have any light. I'm trying to cook by the light of our neighbor's campfire. And the Sterno is not heating up our Diddy Moore beef stew. And so it was, I mean, we probably look back and say that was great, you know. But I felt like we just went to bed defeated. At least I felt like that as a dad that day. I was not thoroughly outfitted or equipped for that circumstance. But Paul is encouraging us to believe that in Scripture we can be thoroughly outfitted for every good work, every act of faithfulness. And it's not that Scripture gives us something for every circumstance. You know, I'm in this. This is the particulars of what I'm dealing with. What Scripture particularly deals with that. But I do think that in Scripture we begin to learn who God is, what makes God tick, how Jesus, what attitude Jesus would carry into this circumstance, what his response would be to that person, how he would walk out or call us to faithfulness. I think Megan Good makes the point in the Old Testament, there's a lot of really specific laws. Seems to cover almost everything, but it probably doesn't. But it, at least in those and in all the circumstances, all the ways that people related to God or related to each other, whether good or bad, we're learning the way of God. And we can apply that to the circumstances that we're in. I'm thinking of Mother's Day. Living with our moms over the years, we begin to get a sense of how mom's going to react, what attitudes she's going to carry into a circumstance, how she would respond to something that we can begin to apply, if that's a good role model in that particular case. Likewise with Scripture can do that for us. The heart of God, the ways of God, the way that the Spirit moves in our midst. So, Megan Good says in her book, rules are not enough. An artist, and we're called to be creative artists in life with God. We need a vision of what can be, just like that scenery. We need a vision of the way of God. So the Scripture is more than just a rule book. It's more than a story. It's a story that's moving us and the world somewhere. And we want to know that and join that story faithfully in a way that will honor God, the one who's the author of this story. Those who are shaped by the Bible are shaped by a more beautiful imagination. We look around, we hear the news, and we think, I wish others could have a better imagination of what life could look like, you know. But that should also point back to our lives and say, is my imagination, is my sense of what life is all about broad enough to reflect and honor this God of all creation? So I want to suggest to us, as we approach Scripture, let it thoroughly equip us for every good work, that we do it with two different approaches, two particular approaches. One is to have an attitude of hospitality. That's one thing that Good says in her book. An attitude of hospitality towards these words, and not of suspicion. Have you ever been you started a conversation with someone, and you go into it with a sense of suspicion? Like, you know you're not going to agree with that person. Right from the start, you're feeding back contention to them. Rather than, you know, maybe the person will say, can you just stop for a moment? Let me share my perspective and then see what you think, you know. Have an attitude of hospitality to hear these words and not begin with a sense of suspicion as you read these words. There's a phrase sometimes that's said about Scripture, let Scripture read you. Instead of you thinking you have it all figured out, or as you are hospitable towards these words, let them begin to speak into your life, to bring teaching, to bring correction, to bring rebuke, whatever that might be. Have an openness towards it. Ways that we can control Scripture is say, I'm just going to take out of it what I like. You know, I'm not going to fully respect it all or try to understand it all. I'm only going to pull out what I like. We might do this with Jesus. There's certain things I like about this Jesus. There's some claims I just can't tolerate, but I'll pull out of it what I can. This doesn't mean, as we're talking about this, that we never have questions about anything in the Bible. You know, there might be some things that we really struggle with. An attitude of suspicion would say, I don't like that, I'm just going to drop it all. Rather than with an attitude of hospitality, I don't fully understand this. I need to dig in more to understand that, how that fits with the big picture of God. That would be an attitude of hospitality. We also might say, control Scripture by saying, I just like Scripture to confirm the things I already believe. So you're not letting Scripture speak. You're just making Scripture confirm what you already believe. That's not being fully respectful of the Scriptures, but being open to what it's saying to us in fresh ways. And with that hospitality, the second thing, I have slides about this, hospitality and having an expectant faith, believing that as I'm open to these words, as they're speaking to me, that I believe somehow that God's going to be powerful in these words, that there's something that is going to change my heart, there's something that's going to empower me or allow me to see things in new ways, to step out courageously and humbly. But doing that with patience, you know, not reading it and expecting immediately this whole new way of life is going to show up. Think about Joshua walking around. God said, march around Jericho. He did that first day, nothing happened. Second day, third day, 6 days, nothing happens. But he was patient, and he kept hearing the word of the Lord until finally God moved on that seventh day there in Jericho. But how can we be expectant that God's going to speak, God's going to move as I'm hearing these words and trying to apply them to my life. And our scripture talks about as teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. Sometimes in, especially like Hebrew writing, if you ever notice, like in Psalms, there's two phrases that are back to back, and they're saying the same thing, but with different words. Just kind of emphasizing that point. There's other times where it's like the first and the fourth line are the same, and the middle two lines are the same. So that's how Paul's writing here. Teaching and training in righteousness are saying a similar thing, like a proactive way of teaching and guiding. And then the middle two are more, have more of a correcting effect. Like rebuking would be bringing to conviction, where scriptures open our eyes to that which in us that God wants to heal or change or forgive and make new. And then correcting would actually be that beginning to move in a new direction, being redirected in this new way. Just a couple examples. When April and I first were parents, we had a book, and it talked about disciplining or discipling your child. And the point of the book was disciplining is more than just punishing or correcting our children. It's all the things we do in the non-naughty times that show them the right way to live, you know, by our examples, by the things that we try to teach into their lives. Like that's even more powerful in shaping them than the times we go around correcting, although that's needed as well. In my therapy work right now, I seem to have a run of people with total hip replacements. And so some of the things I'm doing is more teaching and training, like don't cross your legs, don't excessively bend your hip. That's not going to be good for this new hip replacement. So I'm teaching or training. But there's times when I'm also saying, like I'll see them practice sitting on their toilet, but it's really low, and they're bending their hip too much. Or they're sitting in a sofa that's really low and soft, and their hip's bending too much. So there I'm saying, don't sit on that sofa anymore. That's bad for your hip. Or you need something on your toilet to get it higher. So that's more of a correcting kind of thing. I don't think I've ever rebuked a patient at work. And so Scripture has this kind of effect as we interact with it. As we look at all these different encounters that we're reading about in Scripture, when the prophets are speaking out their rebukes, when authors are writing songs and worship words, when there's this apocalyptic imagery like in Revelation, or there's teaching moments or laws that are given, in all that, how does that help form me? How does that bring me to a place of conviction that something has to change? How is it guiding me in a new direction? You know, how is the Spirit of God powerfully at work breathing into our study of this? In other words, like how is this encounter with Scripture helping me to walk outside the cabin in that new expanse of all that is the God life? So I'd like to just finish up, kind of close with this sense of how might that look. And over the past year, I think a number of times we've talked about the discovery Bible study method, or the what we used when we did the Anabaptist Bible study. But we're asking questions of the Scriptures that are going to help form us and guide us and shape us. And the first is, when it, just in this passage that I'm reading, who is God? How's God being revealed to me in this? And then along with that, what might Jesus have to say about this? Like, if Jesus is the fullest, best representation and revelation of God, how does the teachings, the life of Jesus, his death and resurrection, how does that speak into all of Scripture to help me understand God? But then also, what is this Scripture suggesting about me, about humanity, about us, our possibilities and our mistakes? You know, how is this instructional for us? How does this give us a picture of our need to be redeemed and brought into the ways of God? And then the last question, how will we live differently because we've interacted with this Scripture? So we ask these questions, we think through this way, again, with that, with a hospitable attitude. God, I trust you're here with me speaking. I'm open to that. And also the idea that with an expectant faith that this is going to make a difference. This matters in my life. I'm not just reading this because I need to check off that I read Scripture today. But this is impactful for me. So continually, like apprentices, we're interacting with Scripture. We're going out trying to live it, apply it, carry those attitudes. Sometimes we're failing. Sometimes we're growing. We come back, we read more, we get out there, we fail, we grow, and just we're back and forth growing in these truths. And God's breathing life into all of it. So we talked about the breath of God, that it breathes life into all things. It breathes life into our reading of Scripture. It calls us into partnership. But a third thing that we could add about the breath of God is it. When God breathes, he's bringing things towards completion. As God breathes through Scriptures, we're becoming more and more thoroughly equipped for every good work. He's preparing us more and more for what he has in store for us. And God's a God who brings things to completion under Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, just an encouragement. Have an expectant faith, have a hospitable spirit that as we interact with Scripture, God's breathing into it, calling us to partnership with him. I want to have a closing prayer, and I'd like us to pray it together, again from Voices Together, number 911. This is a prayer by Ulrich Zwingli. He was like the mentor to the early Anabaptists in Zurich, Switzerland. But no, did I say it? Number 911. Okay, let's pray this together. Living God, by the power of your Spirit, Help us to hear your holy word, that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow, in faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do, through Jesus Christ. Amen.